I want to say thank you to, there's so many of them. If I don't get them all, please forgive me if I didn't call your name. But Carson Moore, Elise Moore, Madison Kerfman here in a little bit, Maddie Cole, Eliana, Will Dietrich, Nolan Dietrich, Kevin Leinberger, Christian Leinberger, Jacob Leinberger, Josiah Leinberger. Let's see who else jumped up there. Aiden Moore. Jude Hopkins, Dylan Adams, who else? If I did not see your name, raise your hand. Anna Dixon. Okay. The point is, thank you all you youth, because you guys have jumped up here already. It's not always the easiest thing, and I say that every time, but it's true every time. Jackson Whitaker, I got you. You didn't raise your hand, being bashful. If you would, pass the black books at the end of your pew, sign your name, pass it down to the next person, and then open your Bibles up to John chapter 3. We have a special scripture reader for us today. Madison Kerfman is going to read for us 21 verses. We have a couple different ways that we're going to present the scripture to you today, but the first way is through Madison Kerfman. She's going to read for us. So if you would, follow along. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21.
Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Thank you, Maddie. I'll take it if you want. Boop, there we go. If there's anyone that's a light into the dark that I know, that is Madison Kerfman. She has committed, by the way, to Central Christian College of the Bible and is accepted. So I think we should give her an applause there. And if there's anyone that just hates getting in front of the people, that would be her as well. And she did great. We're also going to read from John 2, 23 through 25. If you would go there with me, John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. This picks up right before what she read for us. "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. So I told you we're going to present this scripture in a couple different ways, because I know when she was reading, she was looking on her phone. I read from the physical Bible, but some of you just looked at us. So maybe you're a visual learner, you're an audible learner. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little video. You can actually follow along in your Bible if you are a continual reader. But we're going to present the scripture through the movie, a clip of John, the Gospel of John.
Nicodemus, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night, he went to Jesus.
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him.
I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again.
How can a grown man be born again? He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time.
I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen. Yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. Those who believe in the Son are not judged, but those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light, because they do not want their evil deed to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God.
Now I like to listen to the Bible a lot. I have an app on my phone that I can just go through it, and they have actors that voice the characters, the people that we read about in the Bible. And I think what it does is it makes it more human for me. It makes it more real for me, and I can hear the inflections of the voice, the intonation, the mood, and how it changes. When I watch it on video, I can see the mannerisms. Like, I could see when Jesus looked at Nicodemus there, and he kind of looked him up and down and said, "You're a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand what I'm saying?" It makes it more real. And I think today we're going to hopefully make this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus more real, and we can establish what we're doing. What we're going to do is, let's see, not that one. Do you have the first, was it not on there? I put it on the computer. It's not on them. That's on me. I had a really long title, and I couldn't figure out exactly how to title this this sermon. And so I had this like super long title, and it was called "Changing His." Actually, our series is "Changing My Mind," but today we're saying "Changing His Mind" because Jesus and Nicodemus talk. But along with this title, it's Jesus and Nicodemus, and then it's a religious leader's attempt to understand what he was not able to comprehend at all because of his religious Pharisaic background and upbringing. But I figured that was too big of a title for today's sermon. It didn't fit in the bulletin. You wouldn't remember it. So we just changed it to "Changing His Mind" today. Because I think Jesus is trying to drop a lot of spiritual truth to Nicodemus, and maybe over time it landed with him. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to break our sermon up into three different parts. We have report. This is the basic facts. We're going to bring out basic facts. So if you want a basic sermon, then this is it. We're going to bring out some facts from the scripture, and this is just the main stuff. I'm behind on my PowerPoint here. But this is like the basic stuff, what you're coming to, where you're what you're learning, simple, basic facts. And then we have the dialogue. We're going to have facts from the conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. And then you're going to have spiritual truths that Jesus is going to give to Nicodemus. And then we're going to have a monologue. We're going to have, whether it's Jesus or just John's words through our passage about the gospel truth. So if you go to John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, we're going to read that one more time, and we're going to establish the enormity of what was going on in Jerusalem at this time. Verse 23 of chapter 2. "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man." If you look at these verses, we're going to pull out some basic facts that Jerusalem was a really busy place. At this time, at the day of Jesus, we have in Jerusalem about 80,000 to 100,000 citizens in Jerusalem. So we could say that Jerusalem was pretty busy. It was a busy place. It was popping with people. Lots of people bustling around. But time of Jewish feast, this Passover feast, it's estimated that there were hundreds of thousands more people come into this place, to come into the city. So it's not out of the norm to say that hundreds of thousands of people are in or around Jerusalem right now. So Jerusalem was busy. It was busy, busy, busy. It's also estimated that you can say that at the time that Jesus was put on a cross, that there's nearly 3 million people there in Jerusalem. And then we see out of this verse that people were seeing Jesus perform signs and perform miracles, that he was teaching them. It doesn't say what miracles. It doesn't say what signs they had been given, but just that they had been given those, and people believed in him, that people had believed in his name, that they were following him, that they were putting their trust in Jesus. Up to this point in John, we have the water changing to wine, and we have the cleansing of the temple. We don't see anything else. Nothing else is recorded or accounted. And so we know that there are things that are happening behind the scenes. It's a basic fact. Jerusalem was busy, that people saw signs from Jesus, and that people believed in his name, that people believed in Jesus at this point. It also says, though, that he was not willing to entrust himself into the care of the people. It was not yet time for him to give himself. It was not yet time for his message to be entrusted into the people. And we see that through the conversation with Nicodemus. Let's look at trust versus entrust. Is there a difference? Yes, there is. And of course, I went to the dictionary to figure out what trust and trust meant. But trust is to place confidence in, to rely on. Entrust is a verb that requires an object. So when you entrust, it's like you entrust your friend with a secret. Then you trust that they will not tell it. So you have trust versus entrust. Trust is confidence in that you're going to rely on. Entrust is you are giving something for someone to take care of. Trust versus entrust. And see, this is interesting to me that Jesus wouldn't entrust himself to the people. And he knew that people are finicky. People can be unreliable. That this is towards the beginning of his ministry, and it was not yet time for all of that to be revealed. And we have proof of that through this conversation with Nicodemus. But what else we can find in John 2, and more proof that people weren't ready, is Jesus and his disciples, after the wedding, where he changed water into wine, they were hanging out, and then it was time for the Jewish festival. It was time for this Passover feast, and so they went up to Jerusalem. And they went to the temple. And what did he find? He found that his father's house was being turned into a marketplace. Now, selling animals and making money that way was not out of the norm, because people had to buy money or buy animals for sacrifice if they didn't have any. So this wasn't out of the norm for them to be selling. But where they were selling showed that they had no reverence. They had no honor, no respect for God. Because this was in the outer courts, and now the temple was made up of several different layers, several different sections. And this is the outer courts where the Gentiles could then go and pray. And what they did is they took that part where the Gentiles were able to come and pray. They couldn't go any further. And they turned that into a marketplace. So what they were doing is they were preventing prayer from happening. They were preventing sacrifices from happening. What they were doing is they did not give honor due to where it was to God, to where it was due. And Jesus corrected that. He made a whip out of cords and corrected it, overturned the place. Further proof that they weren't ready. And the signs that had taken place, we don't know what those are, but we do know that they were legitimate believers in Christ. But yet Jesus would not entrust himself to them, in them. It would come. He would later on, but for the time being, the message of the good news, he was to entrust not yet. So let's recap this report real quick, okay? We have Jerusalem was busy. People saw the miracles and signs by and from Jesus. The people believed, and they believed in his name. They believed in Jesus. They trusted in him. Yet he was not willing to entrust himself in them. Isn't that neat to note? That he allowed them to trust in him. It just wasn't time for him yet to entrust, to put himself in their care. This also leads us at the end of chapter 2, right into chapter 3. And in the time frame, it doesn't say exactly what the time frame is, but we know this is all around the same Passover feast. And we're introduced to Nicodemus. So let's read John. Actually, you know what? I'll give you a summary. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to act out or just verbalize in easier sentences this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. This is Nicodemus. Jesus, your signs prove that you are from God. That's a pretty good start. I mean, this is a teacher of the law, a religious leader, and he comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, Rabbi." So it's a pretty good start. Jesus, your signs prove that you're from God. Jesus, in response, says, "Nicodemus, no one enters the kingdom without being born again." It's an interesting response. I mean, that's not usually how I respond back. But I am also not God. And God does things that we don't understand. But Nicodemus, in response to Jesus saying, "Nicodemus, no one enters the kingdom without being born again," Nicodemus says, "Say what? I'm old." He says, "I'm old. How's that happen?" Jesus, again, entrance into the kingdom requires new birth. Not new in time, but new in nature. Heavenly birth. Water, baptism, plus spirit. This wind that he talks about equals born again. And you were led by the spirit. Nicodemus, what? How can that be? Nicodemus didn't have a lot going for him in this conversation. He was confused the whole way around. This is big stuff for Nicodemus, because this is Jesus challenging Nicodemus. Everything that you know, all of your achievements, everything that you have identified yourself as, you need to give that all up to be born again. To be made new. To have a new beginning. Disregard all of the other stuff you've worked your lifetime for, so you can be born again. And we start to see a turn from dialogue between the two, of Jesus and Nicodemus, to only Jesus speaking. But let's recap where Nicodemus is here, okay? So Nicodemus, he was a religious leader. So he was someone that knew the Old Testament. He was someone that knew the ways of the past, the laws of the past. He knew all of that. And later on, after this conversation, we see that when Jesus is coming time, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, they're all going after him. But he stepped up in that meeting and said, hey, Jesus deserves a fair trial. So we see him, it's kind of low-key defense of Jesus, but he steps up and says, no, Jesus needs a fair trial. And then later on, after Jesus had died, which is further proof that Nicodemus doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about, he brings spices for the burial of Jesus. So he thought Jesus was just dead and gone. Disciples thought that too, though, right? He was privy to this uproar at the temple. I mean, this guy had the power. He was a religious leader. People knew him. The dude was dripping with clout. People knew who he was when he walked into a room. He was one of those religious leaders. That's probably why he came to see him at nighttime. I mean, you have someone that's so busy as a religious leader, so intense in the law, and then you have Jesus who they're calling, they're saying he's starting an uproar, a revolution. Why would he go during the middle of the day to see Jesus? You're right, he wouldn't. Maybe that's why we saw at the end of our passage where it talks about light and darkness. Wickedness is in the night. He also addresses Jesus as rabbi, as teacher. So he does get a bad rap sometimes that he just is so clueless. But it's not always justified. Nicodemus, I think he was quiet follower of Christ. That's not what you're called to be. You're called to be bold in your faith. You're called to be bold in your following of Christ. But I think Nicodemus could have been a quiet believer in Christ. And I say all of that just to say that he was clueless in this conversation that he and Jesus was having. And I think it turns to more of a monologue, more of one person speaking now. I mean, if you look at Nicodemus' response, how can I be born again? I'm too old. How can that be? He doesn't have a clue. And so I think Jesus then takes over this conversation, and he's really blunt with his words with Nicodemus. I think he is trying to establish that, Nicodemus, you don't know what you're talking about. But I do, and I'm here for you. John 3, let's look at verses 10 through 12. This is Jesus calling Nicodemus out. Nicodemus just asked, how can this be? And Jesus said, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? So he's saying, you are this person that is supposed to be teaching these people of the Old Testament law. You're supposed to be teaching of what the prophets prophesied about. You are supposed to be the one that is knowledgeable. You have the responsibility of teaching. And yet, I'm speaking of the easy, earthly things, and you still don't understand. How can I speak of things that are from heaven? Jesus didn't mince his words. Nicodemus got a full dose of Jesus. He got a full dose of the truth. Jesus did not hold back. He doesn't sugarcoat. He said, you were supposed to be Israel's teacher, and yet you have no clue. How can I speak of the things of heaven if I can't? You don't even understand our testimony, things of this earth. But then he continues. Jesus, again, doesn't hold back. Verse 13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Did you catch this? We went from facts, like pulling out the basic facts, and now Jesus dropping spiritual truths of what is to come. Like, he just foretold his death to someone that has no idea. It has no clue. And then, like I said earlier, that's not the first time. The disciples didn't understand until Jesus raised from the dead. And Nicodemus doesn't know. But Jesus foretold anyway. This snake in the desert thing came from Numbers 21, 8 through 9. I don't know if you're familiar, and you don't have to be familiar with the Bible, but if you look in the Old Testament, and you look at Numbers, actually throughout the whole Old Testament, God's people, the people of Israel, they had this way about them that they would follow God, and then they would say, you know what, I think I can do better, God. And they would follow themselves. And then they'd repent. And then they'd come back, and they'd follow God, and then you'd be like, you know what, I think I can do better, God. And then they do it by themselves and fall away. And then they would repent. And there's this one, I mean, I could finish the rest of this time just by saying that, and it would be accurate. That's how many times they did it. But you don't want me to do that. And so this time, God was like, you know what? I'm done. And he just sent vipers their way. And when you get bit by a viper, what happens? You die. I mean, maybe not now. You did then. And they it served his purpose perfectly, because after enough people got bit and died, and like, you know what, God? They skipped the middle part. They said, we're going to follow you. Wait, maybe we won't. Nope, we're dying. Nope, God, we're going to repent. Instant repentance. And so what did God do? He, as Jesus just told us, They raised a bronze snake. They put it on a pole, put it in the center of the town. And if you were bitten by a viper, you looked at that pole and you were healed. That's the first aid sign, like the snake and all of that. You see the doctors, the hospital. That's where this came from. You looked at the snake and you were healed. What did Jesus foretell? I'm that snake. Just like the Son of Man has to be lifted up. All who look on him, all who look at him, all who believe in him will be healed and saved from the punishment of sin. But you have to talk about the wrath of God too. Because if you do not look to Christ and you do not come before Christ and you do not see him as your personal Lord and Savior, the leader of your life, you do not make that commitment, what happens? Just like you were bitten by a viper, didn't look at the pole, you die. Eternal life is not for you with God. And you're not saved from that punishment of sin. He will be raised up. Nicodemus was able to see that. Maybe he understood later on. What we have, and we read those verses, but what we have here is we're going to recap basic facts. We're going to start from the beginning of what we did earlier. That Jerusalem was busy. I said it earlier and I saw Maddie Cole respond. Jerusalem was popping with people. Popping with people. There was a lot of people around Jerusalem. People saw the miracles and signs performed by Jesus. People believed in his name. Basic facts. That's all we're doing. Jesus was not yet willing to entrust himself to them. He was not ready to put himself in their care because they were finicky. They only saw the signs and the miracles. They did not have the faith quite yet. They didn't understand that. And so it wasn't quite time for that. It's not that Jesus was holding back. It just wasn't time. Jesus called Nicodemus to follow him. Through their conversation, he told them that he was the Son of Man. The Son of Man would be lifted up. The Son of Man would conquer all. And we have no open response from Nicodemus. Now we do see that maybe after a while his mind started to think and his mind started to change that, well, maybe this Jesus is who he says he is. And you see that with Nicodemus's bolder actions, with stepping up for Jesus for a fair trial. We see that with Nicodemus bringing the spices. But we also see that Nicodemus' reaction to Jesus' conversation with him, that it was not time. He was justified. That Jesus was justified with where he was in this conversation to not give himself completely up to them. But this is where the fun comes in. We have basic facts. That's easy. That's basic reporting, right? You go to a car accident, you take the basic stuff down. This is where we can have fun and see the spiritual truths. We can bring it out, an exposition of this passage, and bring out the spiritual truths that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven requires one to be born again of water and spirit. Baptism was not something that was foreign to them. John the Baptist had been baptizing, right? Even in verse 22, we didn't read that far. We stopped at 21. Verse 22, it says, Jesus and his disciples then went out and they were baptizing. So baptism wasn't a foreign idea, but the spirit, water and spirit, was new. How many of you had tried to catch the wind before? So you went out and it was windy and you're like, I'm going to get you. And you went and you grabbed it and you opened your hand and what was there? Nothing. Because you can't catch the wind. Can you? I mean, you can hear the wind, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't catch the wind. Jesus talks about that. Just as the Spirit. You don't lead the Spirit, do you? Do you just get the Spirit and you say, oh, I got you, Spirit, and then you walk him on a leash? Right? That's funny, right? Because the Spirit is to lead you. Was Jesus, did he say, you know what, I'm going to go out into the desert. Spirit, you want to come along? No. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. The Spirit doesn't follow. The Spirit leads. You are to follow the Spirit. You don't lead it. Just as you can't control the wind. Also, to understand the heart of God, we must listen and submit. Now, on Nicodemus' behalf, he did listen. He asked a question. He listened. He didn't understand. And sometimes we won't understand everything. That's just the basic fact. Like, if you wait to come before these waters back here, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you wait just until you know everything, you will never have that happen. Your relationship with Christ will never begin. Baptism is the beginning. You will not know everything before that. It's the beginning. You have to listen and submit. And then finally, for the eternal life, we must come before the Father through the Son. We find that response to the Son is response to the Father. Like, because of Jesus, the only way for eternal life is through the Son. Jesus was telling Nicodemus of these spiritual acts through these earthly symbols. But all of it originated in heaven. It wasn't just Jesus speaking on nonsense. These are spiritual acts through earthly symbols, but what is to come is originated in heaven. This is how we're going to present the next few verses. I told you we would do a report, we would do the dialogue, talk about the dialogue, and now we're going to present the gospel truth in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Okay? The gospel truth. After I read these verses, we're just going to pray. Because I can't add anything to John chapter 3, 16 through 21. I could try, but it's not needed. I could try to say all kinds of things about it, but it's not needed. So this is what we're going to do. If you are one that likes to read along, then you read along. If you're one that needs to hear audibly, just close your eyes and hear the gospel truth. And I want this to be your invitation. Because some of you in this room do not have a relationship with Christ. Some of you in this room, you're searching, you're trying, but you have no relationship. Do not wait until you think you know everything, because that day will never come. There is no day like today to follow Christ. Tomorrow might not come. Mark Moore says this about these verses. Jesus has come to save, not to judge. It is His desire to bring eternal life. Not just a quantity of life, not just a longer life, but a divine quality of life. Yet, because His words are those of God, response to Jesus becomes the anvil on which all are tested. Jesus is good in the extreme, but He is not tame. This Jesus that we follow is not tame. You can try to tame Him, but He is not tame. Mark preached about it, about Him being the lion. Well, he was talking about other things too. But we have Jesus as not tame or tameable. He is demanding. He is painfully incisive. He is vindictive of sin and intolerant of unbelief. He is light that ruthlessly exposes our wickedness. If a man is not ready to be stripped bare and clothed only in Christ, he has no other option but to cower in the darkness. So I'm going to read John 3, 16 through 21, and this is going to be your invitation. And the band's going to come up, and then we're going to sing, and if you have something on your heart that needs to be... Come right down here. We'll have elders and everyone down here. Let's read John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this church to you. It's not just today. We pray about this church all the time as leadership. But God, I pray for the individuals in here that they have some sort of relationship with you, and if they don't, that they're not afraid to come forward. God, you are a God that we can't even understand all things about you. But may we look at this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and may we see the truth that the Son of Man, as it did happen, died for us. But he didn't stay in that grave. That he conquered death because he wanted to save us from our impending death because of our sin. May we refuse to go on living without you in our life, without being led by the Spirit. May we no longer try to lead the Spirit and make your will something that matches ours. But may we give everything to you and neglect self. In your awesome name we pray. Amen.